Look at the word, please, in verse number 2, endured. Look in verse number 3, consider him that endured. Look at verse number 7, if ye endure. Do this for me. Look at that word endure. It's in there 3 times. This is simple. What are the first 3 letters? E-N-D. End. If you're going to make it to the end, you're going to have to endure some things. And we are called as followers of Jesus Christ to endure.
You're listening to Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Pressing On is a ministry of Progress Baptist Church located in Hendersonville, North Carolina. For more information about Progress Baptist Church, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. And now let's join the service at Progress Baptist Church.
Hebrews chapter 12. About a year and a half ago, I started a survey, not a detailed look, but a survey of Hebrews. Basically, we did a message per chapter until we got to chapter 11. And I told you right then, I said, it's impossible to do one chapter on Hebrews chapter 11, one message on Hebrews chapter 11. So we slowed down and we started looking at many of those characters, not all of them. Then when we got to Abraham, we slowed down when we got to 11. Then we got to Abraham and we went from slow to granny gear. Okay, we bogged down and just really, really launched from Hebrews back to Genesis and started dissecting the life of Abraham and learning all we could from there. Give me 60 seconds to 2 minutes to give you a brief review on the book of Hebrews. There are some troubling, I would even go so far as to say controversial verses in the book that people, good people, serious people, well-meaning people, people that love the Lord, they take those verses and they apply that to their life and then they teach and they preach and there are entire denominations that believe you can lose your salvation. And the main reasons they believe that is things that the Lord used. I believe Paul, you may believe another man wrote it, that's fine. The things that he wrote uniquely and specifically to these Hebrew believers. If you don't look at Hebrews through that lens, you're going to get confused. And the book was written, and I said this, but it's been probably a year since I last said it. The book was written to second generation believers who had been taught one to the Lord, discipled, mentored by first generation believers. And I don't mean first generation in that it was your daddy who loved the Lord and now you're a second generation person who has come to Jesus. That's not what I mean. When I say first generation, I mean they walked with Jesus. When he fed the 5,000, they were nearby. If they didn't watch it, they heard about it. So they were first generation. They forsook Judaism and followed Jesus and said, Messiah has come. They embraced him. They were persecuted for that. You'll find that in other books of the Bible. And then they passed it on to their children and to other people that they led or won to the Lord. Well, then that first generation who said, man, y'all should have been with us at the Sea of Galilee. I slipped into the teen and young adult Sunday school class and was so thankful for what they were learning. And I just got in on the final 4 minutes. But they said, these first generation people were saying, you should have been at the Sea of Galilee. You should have seen that morning when there was a ship on this side and we got up and the ship was on the other side and we knew there was a storm overnight and we figured out that the only way Jesus got over there was he walked on the water. And all of these miracles, feedings and lame people that were made to walk and blind people that were made to see, the generation that saw that firsthand, can you imagine the authority with which they taught and preached? Well, they started dying and these second generation believers started having their funerals and they didn't see Jesus walk on the water. And they didn't have a Sunday school teacher who was there at the feeding of the 5,000. All they had was what they had heard. And what little bit at that time had been written. And they're shaken. They're going, man, they saw Jesus in a different way than I did. That's why Peter had to write in his epistle. He said, I know y'all envy me because of what I saw and heard on the mountain. What you're holding in your lap, that scroll you're unfolding, is better than what I saw and heard. Okay? And so Hebrews, he's having to write to them, and he said, I know you're shaken, and I know you're wondering if it's all real, and I know you've entertained thoughts of going back. Because there's something, one of our ladies testified about it Wednesday, I believe it was Miss Brenda, she read about her Bible reading, came through the law, all of the washings and the killings and the blood and you had to do it just right. And she said, I remember reading that and going, I could never have done all that. And so here's these second generation believers, and they're really, really struggling. And they're going, yeah, it was hard. But there was a little bit of security in knowing if I do this, 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 and this, and this, I'll be accepted. That gives me a little bit of confidence. And all I'm doing now, you know, I'd like a little bit of help right here. All I'm doing now is walking by. And they're going, Brother Breck, I'm scared. All I've got to go on is what he said. Anybody with me? And in our body, there are many, many people. And I'm so glad you're here this morning. Don't ever let the devil tell you, in this trial, in this valley, in the shape you're in, if you go, you're going to hinder the Holy Ghost from moving. That's not going to happen. Now, a rebel, a sower of discord can hinder. But a broken, hurting person who's struggling, and boy, the waves are just knocking them back and forth, you're not going to hinder anything. And if you'll keep coming to the body, you're just liable to get some help. So here they are, they're scared, they're grasping, and we've preached out of all these chapters. I want to remind you about chapter 11. He gives person after person after person after person and tells how they victoriously went with God. Many of them died not having received what they were walking toward, but they still died believing that God was going to keep His word. They were just like the three Hebrews who said, our God will deliver us. Our God will deliver us, King. But if He doesn't, we're still staying with Him. Okay? So that's where we ended up in Hebrews chapter 11. What a powerful book that is. Now keep all that in mind and look at chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm going to come back to patience in just a minute. So if that being said, you'll understand I'm not doing any harm to the Scripture. Please look at verse number 1, and I want you to look. If you underline in your Bible, how about underline and run the race? And maybe even draw a little arrow, run the race. Okay, now look at 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Verse 3. Consider Him. Who's that Him? Who's the Him in verse number 3? Everybody? Jesus. Verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. 5. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. 7. If ye endure, there's my word, chastening. The word endure is in this short passage that I just read excerpts from. The word endure is in there 3 times. So I want to preach this morning on finish well. If you've been in this way very long, and most everybody I'm looking at has been. You've been in church. Maybe if you were in church and religious and then got saved later, I understand all of that. But if you've been around church and the Bible and preaching and the things of God for very long, you have been in it long enough to have been shaken to your very core, shaken to your very foundation by someone quitting, getting out, leaving, walking away, any number of ways you want to word it and describe it. You've been shaken to your core by someone who just absolutely walked away from God. I've debated about whether or not to use any personal illustrations of people that I have worshiped with and gone to meetings with and grown with. I thought, and now they are not a little bit off, they are 180 degrees away from the things of God. And you know what? Some of you would say, "Preacher, that's in my family." There are people listening to me this morning, the ones who raised you in the things of God now walk away from that and give you a hard time about it. That happens. And some of us are testimonies in this church. There are people in this church who would say, "The man who preached and cried and thundered about my sin and about the Savior and pointed me to Jesus, that man is no longer in the ministry." That will shake you to your core. That will cause you to sit at the couch, lay in bed, or walk a hiking trail in Western North Carolina and question everything that you've been told to believe. And something that a year, 2 years, 10 years ago, you would have died for, you're wondering if it's even real at all. And I want to ask you, on the authority of chapter 12, verse 1, would you determine in your heart this morning, "I'm going to run my race and I'm going to finish well"? I care nothing about horse racing. Obviously, as an American, if we ever get somebody closing in on a triple crown, I'll give it about that much attention, and then that's the extent of it. So I have no idea what happened yesterday in Louisville, Kentucky. I couldn't care 2 cents. There's too much gambling. But if Satan's Revenge, or whatever goofy name they gave some horse yesterday, did not finish, he does not go down in history as running the Kentucky Derby. A few weeks ago was the Boston Marathon. Somebody finished 18 hours after it started. Others started and never finished. They do not get a participation trophy. Somebody help me. They don't get recognition for starting the Boston Marathon. Okay? Mr. Ed did not get a ribbon yesterday for starting the Kentucky Derby. You don't run the race unless you cross the finish line. And we're not trying to keep ourselves saved. I hope that is clear. Surely I've taught enough Bible, and Brother Joe did before he came, and then the other places you've been, you know enough Bible to know we're not talking about keeping ourselves saved. But I am saying I've got a race to run. And if I don't cross the finish line, I have not run the race. Now let me just say real quick, don't spend that much of your time and energy worrying too much, other than praying for them and love them. Don't let anybody who has gotten out of the race shake your faith. The Bible is very, very clear. There are tares among the wheat. If the Bible is clear about anything, there are tares among the wheat. And the disciples said, "Those tares are going to ruin us." Jesus said, "Those tares can't do a thing to you if your faith is in Jesus Christ." Here's what he said, Brother PJ. He said, "Leave them alone." He said, "I'll sort them out at the judgment seat of Christ." Obviously, you can't overlook known public sin in a church body. There's plenty of Bible about that. But tares among the wheat, they've always been there, and you'll do more harm than good. You may go to somebody who's very sincere and they're struggling, and you think you're John the Baptist and Paul the Apostle, and you start trying to straighten them out, and you're not doing it in the spirit of meekness, you're going to make a mess. So be careful. Look at the word, please, in verse number 2, endured. Verse number 2, endured. Look in verse number 3. Consider him that endured. Look at verse number 7. If ye endure. Do this for me. Look at that word, endure. It's in there 3 times. This is simple. What are the first 3 letters? E-N-D. End. This is all you get. I hope it'll help you. If you're going to make it to the end, you're going to have to endure some things. You're going to have to endure some things. And you say, Brother Ains, you like to give definitions. Give us a definition. The word endure means everything you and I think it means. Every article, everything you've read, every commercial you've seen, every documentary you've watched on how to get in shape, and they're sweating and they're groaning, everything you've watched about somebody preparing for 8 years to go to the Olympics, everything you've read and heard and understand about endurance is wrapped up in that one little word. And we are called as followers of Jesus Christ to endure. Look at verse number one. Let us run with patience. I told you we'd get back to the word. The word patience means endurance. Over the last 400 years, it has been adapted and adjusted and modified to where we think of patience as granny sitting on the porch in a rocker, not getting all knotted up about things the way we do as younger people. I'm just going to be patient. No, no, no. I'm not correcting your Bible. I'm defining the word. The word patience means to endure. It means, Brother Morgan, to press in. It means to have blood, sweat, and tears. And I know Jesus paid it all. And I know that the Comforter has come. But let me tell you something. If you're going to cross the finish line, if you are going to finish the course that God has had for you, if He's entrusted a ministry into your care, if He's entrusted children into your care, there are going to be times of endurance. And let's look at the three uses of the word. Verse number two, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. First, the example of endurance. And friend, you have nowhere that you need to look other than Jesus Christ. I hear the silliest things on Sirius XM radio, and I listen to either news or sports. And they'll do a Joel Osteen advertisement for the Joel Osteen channel. I wish they'd give the Doug Raines channel. I wish they'd give the Connor channel or the Seth channel. We get more truth in a 5-minute devotion. Somebody help me. We get more truth in a 5-minute devotion at Progress Baptist than they do in an entire message. That's the truth. And I'm not on a soapbox. I listened to him for 12 minutes. And he did a whole message on you need to take another route home from work. He said, your life is in a rut. If you'll take a different route home from work, you'll see a park you didn't know your city had. And they were weeping. They were sitting there going, yes, my life's in a rut. I need to take a different route home from work. I've got into a rut. And I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? Souls are dying and going to hell, and Jesus died on the cross, and I'm going to tell them they need to take a different route home from work and get out of a rut. Jesus endured the cross. And so on Sirius this week, it said, listen to this lineup of guests that He's going to have coming soon. Oprah Winfrey, who came out years ago and said all this stuff about Jesus was a farce. And here's what Oprah's testimony is going to be. What kind of God wants you to live in poverty and struggle for the rest of your life? That's not the God of the Bible. That's Oprah's message. Are y'all hearing me? That's what's out there in this world. And He's got 25,000 in His renovated auditorium this morning. We better anchor ourselves to the truth. We better know the Scriptures and search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. Jesus lived a life of endurance. And He said, any man that'll follow Me better take up his cross. Right. Nothing easy about a cross. And so I see Jesus and His endurance. Look at it. He was humiliated. He was tortured. He was stripped bare and placed on that cross. He carried that cross, and 10 million times greater than that was my sins that He carried. And there He is on that cross. What got Jesus, we're looking at endurance by example. What got Him through? Look at verse number 2. For the joy that was set before Him. I am preaching to people this morning. My heart is in this body. And I'm preaching to people this morning. You're enduring. You're pressing. You're groaning. You're aching far worse than a muscle ache. Your heart is aching. And I want to tell you what's going to get you through is what got Jesus through for the joy that was set before Him. Jesus did not enjoy the cross. He was a man. He was 100% man and He was 100% God. And He did not enjoy the cross. He endured the cross. And how did He do it? The joy that was set before Him. Some of us, Brother Eric, are struggling day by day and we haven't set a goal out there before us and said, that is what I am striving for. You say, Brother Raines, what was the joy that was set before Jesus? I believe with all my heart, it was seeing somebody bow and call on His name. I believe it was seeing somebody in a little mill house in West Greenville fall on their knees and call on Jesus. I believe it was seeing a rebel police officer from Tampa, Florida, all the way in West Virginia for the holidays, fall on his knees and call on God. Every one of your testimonies, I believe that was the joy that was set before Him. You say, Brother Raines, what is the joy that is set before us? I can't save anybody. I can't look down the road to somebody calling on my name. The joy that is set before me, Chris, is to passionately long for and desire to hear Him say, well done. I know He loves me. He's done everything He ever needed to do to show me that He loves me. But I want to make the Lord a good soldier. I want to say like Paul, I've run my course. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. I know He loves me. I can't earn His love. I can't do anything, Brother Fred, to make Him love me anymore. But I want Him proud of me. According to Hebrews, I want Him pleased with me. He loves me. But I want Him so glad He saved me. Are y'all with me? Church, have you set a goal out there? Do you know what you're striving for? Are you aiming for something? If you're not aiming for anything, you'll hit it every time. Did you get that? If you're not aiming for something, you'll hit it. What? Nothing. Every time. Look at verse number 3. The example of endurance. Look in verse number 3. Consider Him. What did He tell us to do in verse number 2? Don't miss this. What did He tell us to do in verse number 2? He said, look unto Jesus. Many in this auditorium have done that. But please look at verse number 3. You boys get this while you're young. Verse number 3. Consider Him. It's not the same thing as what He said in verse 2. He would have said, look to Jesus, verse 2, verse 3, look to Jesus. He said, look to Him. Some of us have looked to Him, and now it is time to consider Him. And here's what it means, to think over and to ponder. I'm glad you looked to Him. I'm glad you looked to the cross and said, Jesus is my only hope. I'm a helpless, hopeless sinner. And all I have, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. I'm glad for that. But now would you take a step back and consider Him and think over Him and ponder Him? Look at the rest of the verse. Who endured such contradiction of sinners. Can I be totally frank with you? You're going, I wish, you're preaching to us. I hope you will be. Preachers say, can I be honest? Please. Look at verse 3. Who endured such contradiction of sinners? Do you know that most of us, when we got saved, didn't know that that was coming? With me? We didn't know that was part of the deal. We thought everybody would cheer. Woo! Or at least, Miss Mary, leave us alone. I know people, I'm just like, leave me alone. But He said there'll be contradiction of sinners against Jesus. So if Jesus had contradiction of sinners, don't you reckon you and I are? You know what contradiction of sinners means? Strife and gainsaying.
For more information about Progress Baptist Church and to hear this and other sermons, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. If you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is pressingonradio@gmail.com. That's pressingonradio@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining us for Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Be sure to tune in this time next week for another challenging message from God's Word.